Good morning. Lance Tarchione, technical agronomist with DeKalb and Asgrow, here with you on WGIL Radio, AM 1400. This morning with this week's episode of Ag Talk, another blast of summer heat coming through the area with 5 days in a row here of 90-plus degrees and some pretty high humidity levels. So heat indexes in the triple digits for several of these days. Going to be a pretty stressful period for our crops here through the next few days, and then a chance of rain at the end of the heat when a cool front moves through and brings in much more comfortable temperatures. And if the extended forecast holds, we're actually looking at below normal temperatures for the remainder of August after the next 5 days. So that would be that would be really nice. Crops would appreciate that. Livestock would appreciate that. Farmers would appreciate that. Old out-of-shape agronomists would appreciate that. So I love fall weather, and getting a little peek of fall in August is certainly nice as well. So lots of stuff going on out in the fields, having a lot of conversations with growers about a couple disease issues and some insect issues, and always something to talk about. So, disease called southern rust, which is a disease of corn that is bad in our area, maybe 1 year out of five, and that disease does not overwinter here, so it has to move up from the southern U.S. Every year it usually comes up on storm fronts, and when it gets here, if it has the right kind of weather, which is hot and humid and moist, it can be bad here. And this is turning out to be a fairly significant southern rust year. And, diseases like, gray leaf spot, tar spot, northern corn leaf blight, physoderma, other things that are out in the fields as well, are kind of taking a back seat right now to southern rust, and so I've been getting a lot of questions about that. Also seeing some late aphids coming into corn, which at this stage of the game, they're not going to do near as much damage as they did last year, and I think they're probably, for in most cases, an ignorable problem this year. Soybeans are dealing with some diseases as well. There's a very common soybean disease called sudden death syndrome, which is showing up pretty widely across the area. Not super severe, but easy to find. There's when you evaluate diseases, there's two terms that you'll hear. There's incidence and severity. The incidence would refer to how much percent of the field, either percent of plants or percent of acres of the field, is infected with the disease or has symptoms of the disease. And it could be 5% incidence, meaning most of the field is healthy and only 5% of the field is showing disease, or you could have disease across to 100% of the field. And then there's severity as well, and that relates to how severe is the infection in the areas of the field where it's showing up. So I would say right now we have moderate incidence and low severity in most cases, so I don't think it's going to be as dramatic of a yield robber as it has been in other years, but it's certainly going to impact the yield of our soybeans. And then there's also a new disease that is pretty concerning when it shows up, and we're seeing it in some new places this year. That disease is called red crown rot, also a soybean disease, and it's fairly new on the scene, and do not know as much about that disease, do not have as many remedies for that or as many sources of resistance for that disease because it's new, but that's certainly something that's got the soybean industry's attention, and people that work on disease resistance in soybean germplasm are obviously on the case, looking for sources of resistance to this potentially important new disease. And I think we talked about this maybe in a previous episode, but we're seeing quite a bit of what's called tip back in corn. And so what that means is the kernels on the tip of the ear. After they pollinated, they aborted because there was stress on the plant, and there were more kernels of corn on the ear than the plant was able to support. Normally, a normal-sized ear of corn will have somewhere between 600 and 800 kernels that pollinate on that ear. And, you know, if you pollinated 800 kernels and a week after pollination, your, you know, environment was such that the plant could only support 700 kernels, that means 100 of them have to go. And it typically, the plant will abort the youngest kernels first, you know, sacrifice the young. And those are typically on the tip of the ear. And so when that tip starts to pull back, when those kernels start to abort off the tip, we call that tip back. And we're seeing more of that this year than people expected to see. We're seeing more of it than normal. Depends on hybrid, depends on planting date, depends on weather conditions, depends on a lot of factors. But, you know, the primary stresses that we had this year were not moisture stress. Typically, you know, we worry about being dry. Well, we were actually, you know, we had adequate to surplus moisture, you know, at that time, and may have had a little bit too much moisture, frankly, at that time that could have been a stress. The cloudy, hazy days were definitely a stress because that negatively impacts the plant's ability to perform photosynthesis, which is where it takes sunlight and turns that into sugar, which is what the plant lives and grows off of and what the kernels are formed from. And so if you're not photosynthesizing at peak capacity, that means the plant didn't produce as much sugar, which means it can't produce as much yield. And then you add on top of that, we had a stretch there where we had some oppressively hot nights. And corn can handle, you know, 90 degrees and humid during the day. Doesn't bother corn all that much. That's warmer than ideal. But a, you know, 92 degree day is not a big deal for a corn plant. A 75 degree night is what's really stressful for a corn plant. And so when we get hot, it's not so much the hot days. That's uncomfortable for us, but what's more uncomfortable for the corn crop are the hot nights, because photosynthesis does not occur in the dark, and so the plant is using up a lot of the sugar that it produced during the day just to get through the stress of the hot night. But the crop is progressing rapidly. I would say most corn in the area has about 1 to 3 weeks left to go before it reaches what we call black layer, which is the physiological maturity of the plant. And that's when dry matter accumulation is complete in the kernel. So when you reach black layer or physiological maturity, you've reached your maximum potential yield for that kernel, for that ear, for that field at that time. And soybeans have about 2 to 4 weeks left to go. So more rain and cooler weather would help maximize, you know, grain yield and make this crop reach, you know, we're not going to reach its original full potential because we've already lost some yield potential from the original full potential, but we can continue to lose potential up until physiological maturity if we have less than ideal conditions. And, you know, if it's a little dry, if it's a little too hot, if we've got leaf diseases that are stress on our crop, all of those factors are, you know, contributing to additional lost yield. And how much, you know, yield we lose from here on out will be determined by how severe diseases get, how adverse the weather conditions are, how much rain we get or don't get. And like I say, there's about 1 to 3 weeks left to go on corn and 2 to 4 weeks left to go on soybeans, where we're still going to watch the weather and watch what's going on with the crop. And, you know, once the crop is mature, you know, the only thing we can do at that point is just harvest it as timely as possible and try not to have harvest losses due to lodging or losses of yield in the field after, you know, the crop has finished growing. And harvest is just around the corner. It's an early Labor Day this year, and, you know, Labor Day is kind of a, you know, traditionally nobody's going to be trying to harvest anything before Labor Day. But right after Labor Day, typically your larger, more aggressive producers, people that planted early, people that like to get an early jump on harvest, like to be, like to get going after Labor Day. And I think this year Labor Day is going to be early, but the crop is well ahead of normal as well. Now, if we cool down and slow things down a little bit, that might keep people from starting as early as it looks like they could now. But the next 5 days are going to make some pretty radical changes, and you're going to see this crop go from green to not near as green as it used to be here over the next few days. Back to school time of year, I was following. I was on County 8 earlier this week. Came up on a school bus that was stopped at a home, and I noticed something new. I don't know exactly when this changed, but maybe you've noticed this too, and it stood out to me. I thought it was a police car or a fire truck or an ambulance or something, because it was, bright red flashing lights. Well, as I get up closer to it, I see it's a school bus. And I thought, when did school buses go from yellow amber lights to bright red lights, like warning lights? And I don't think that's a bad idea, because it did, I was certainly startled by the fact that there were red flashing lights. And was on, extra careful alert, which is the way you want to be when you're coming up on a school bus. But apparently the laws have changed, and now school buses have red lights as well instead of the old yellow amber lights. But anyway, so the school bus was parked on the highway in front of this house, and I saw, weren't any kids standing there, no kids running out of the house, late for the school bus. The school bus had been sitting there for several minutes as I approached down the highway, and I came to a stop and was sitting there and kind of wondering what was going on. Well, then I see the mother walk off the school bus, and the family dogs are out in the yard running around, and I don't know who was having the harder day, the mom or the kid. Never saw the kid. The kid was on the school bus, but mom was on the bus with the kid. Don't know if she had to coax the kid onto the bus, or if she was having a hard time letting go of the kid that was on the bus. But eventually, mom got off the bus and went back towards the house, and school bus went on down the road. But definitely had the look of a young child's first day, maybe first day ever riding a bus, or certainly probably a young'un. And I remember. I remember those days in our family when it was pretty emotional for parents and kids, that first day getting on a school bus. So hopefully things get easier for that family. Our daughter Ashley moved back to Ames this week, last weekend. She's starting a new job at the University Sheep Farm and wanted to get settled into her new apartment. When I was in college, back in the day, I was not one of the cool kids. I actually spent 4 years in the dorms at University of Illinois. 1 year in the dorms was plenty for Ashley. She's way cooler than I am, and so she and a couple of her friends got an apartment for this year. So she's very much looking forward to being out of the dorms and into an apartment. I was recently in Champaign, actually, for a field day, and happened to drive by my old dorms at U of I, the Pennsylvania Avenue Residence Halls, as their PAR, as they were known, and I see they've got window air conditioners in the rooms there now. Didn't have that when I was a student back in the day, and actually the dorm Ashley was in was one of the older dorms at Iowa State. Still did not have air conditioning in the rooms either. So I was a little surprised that they had any dorms that didn't have air conditioning, but I guess they're a little bit north of us, so a little bit cooler. But that was always those first few weeks of college were always pretty brutal, because late August is certainly hot, and often the first half of September feels a lot like August. So you always knew you were going to have about a month there where it was pretty uncomfortable in the dorms with no air conditioning. So Field day season is on upon us. That's one of my favorite times of year. We have lots of events where we look at field trials and plots and have agronomic discussion and educational opportunities for growers and dealers. And back in the day when we used to do more of these type events, you'd get on the speaking circuit in a role like mine and just go from field day to field day to field day. And sometimes you'd schedule some of them at midday around you, they're always scheduled around a meal. So if you want to get a group of farmers together for anything, you got to have a good meal. Farmers like to eat. So if you're going to get farmers to take their time to come and listen to a bunch of people talk about seed products or herbicides or agronomy of some kind, you gotta have some pork chops and some ribeyes involved in that, or you're gonna have a pretty skimpy crowd. And we used to schedule events, noon events and evening events, and I'd pack on a good 10 pounds during that time of year eating pork chops and ribeyes twice a day, and sometimes that evening field day, if they had a bunch of leftovers, they would send those home with some of the reps that were working at the field day. So you eat pretty good as an agronomist doing field days. We don't have as many as we used to. Things have changed in the business, but still something I really enjoy doing, and still like pork chops, still like ribeyes. Can't get too many of either of those. The last thing I wanted to touch on isn't really ag related at all. I went to something pretty cool a week ago that my church puts on, and it's called Uncommon, and it's a Christian men's conference. Basically, if you're familiar with Promise Keepers and that those are other men's events that are kind of faith-based events where you hang out with a bunch of guys and learn how to be better men, learn how to be better husbands, learn how to be better fathers, learn how to be better men of faith, men of God type events. And this one was held in Quincy. Had about 1,250 guys there in a big auditorium. Lots of good speakers. It's kind of neat how they set it up. So you got 1,250 men in an auditorium listening to a really powerful speaker, and some of us are crying, and the rest of us are trying not to cry, and so you go through about 30 or 40 minutes of some pretty heavy stuff, and then they have these fun games scheduled to kind of lighten the mood a little bit and have a little bit of fun. So you're going from intense to games, intense to games, intense to games through the whole conference, and it starts in the afternoon on Friday, goes till noon on Saturday, so it's an overnight deal, and pretty impressive, honestly. I was glad I went. I had been encouraged to go for years. I had always come up with an excuse not to go, but I guess I ran out of excuses not to go, and let some guys from church talk me into going, and now I'm already looking forward to going back next year. And my son Cole was very disappointed to find out that I'm actually going to try to get him to go with me next year. So I got some serious heavy lifting to do to convince Cole at the age of 24 that he needs to go to a Christian men's conference. But we'll see how that goes. As Cole said, well, it's a long time till next year. And so I guess I've got that's my challenge for the next 12 months is to get Cole motivated to want to go to the next Uncommon with me. So anyway, if any of you happen to be there and you know what I'm talking about, thanks for going. And there'll be another one next August, probably also in Quincy, unless they outgrow the auditorium that they've been hosting it in. I think they've got capacity for about 150 more people in that large auditorium, and if they get past 1,400 attendees, they may have to look for a bigger venue to host it. So that's actually their goal, is to outgrow the venue that they're using for it currently. anyway, hopefully you all had a good week. Hopefully everybody gets through the heat and is looking forward to a cool down and maybe a shower. So we're back into that. You know, there in July when it was raining every other day and we were complaining about too much rain, just needed it to stop raining. Well, you know, it stopped raining for about 2 or 3 weeks, and now we're complaining that it's getting dry again. So it would be nice to get a good soaking rain to kind of help finish off the crops, and especially would have been nice to get that before the excessive heat wave that's coming. But a nice rain shower after the heat wave would be appreciated as well. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for that, and we'll be back with you next week. Take care.